I'm going to give you all some insight. I don't know if it was ESPN TNT, so I'm just going to put them both together because I don't want to point out one. We were doing the halftime. No one watched the game. Yeah, you know, they had a great first half. They're just looking at the stat sheet. Like, how many times has Shaq got caught sleeping? Like, you know, Dwayne Wade, Candace Parker, they be catching him sleep. When y'all think he's sleeping?
Welcome back to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. I'm Josiah Johnson, and in this edition of Heat Check, we are breaking down the conference semifinals, which tipped off Sunday. First things first, we got to head out to Boston. First game of the doubleheader, the Bucks took game one of the series without Chris Middleton, who sprained his knee in game two of the first round against the Bulls. Gil, this is a pretty impressive win for the Bucks, 101-89. Giannis dropped a triple-double, 24-13-12. Tatum and Brown struggled on their side, 10-for-31 from the field. Do you think that they had a little bit of a hangover from, you know, sweeping the Nets, and were Celtics fans feeling themselves a little too much?
To be honest, I was having a hangover, so I missed the whole game. I'm not even gonna lie, I missed the whole. It's Boston versus Milwaukee. No Middleton. I figured it was going to be a boring game. In looking at the score, it was boring. I was impressed though when I looked at the stat sheet to see that, you know, Tatum and Brown was contained. You know, I didn't think without Middleton that they can contain those two from putting up big numbers. But I guess when you shoot 51 threes, I think like was it 13 for 51 from the three-point line, you basically contain yourself at that point. So just keeping them from scoring, Milwaukee, you know, it's like Milwaukee did what – I don't even think Milwaukee played a great game to win it. It's just Boston didn't shoot the ball well.
Yeah, and that's what I think kind of the general consensus was. You know, they held the Bucks 101 points, only put up 89 on their side. At one point late in the game, Brad Stevens could be seen in his suite. He dipped out kind of just in disgust. But when you look at the squad, were they feeling themselves a little too much after sweeping the Nets? And do you think, you know, this, you know, Bucks fans are super confident right now. You know, my pops, who's obviously a color commentator for Bucks, he tweeted that this wasn't a steal of game one. You know, coaching experience was a huge key for the Bucks. When you look at Budenholzer versus Ime Udoka in his first playoff foray, got the easy sweep. Do you think that that's going to really, you know, be an issue in this series moving forward?
You know, I always thought game one is usually the easiest for a road team to steal because that's more pressure on the home team. The home team has to win game one. So to me, game one is usually the easiest one to steal because there's more nerves and there's more a psychological warfare on the home team to secure that win. So, you know, Bucks stealing game one seems like the easiest one to steal. Game two, Boston going to be better prepared, and I think that's going to be a blowout.
So we saw Giannis 24-13, like I mentioned, he had the triple-double. Also went full T-Mac with the alley-oop off the backboard to himself. When you look around the league, Bucks fans were in my mentions. They were calling you out. They said they need to hear, you know, Gil speak on it. When you look at Giannis now, has he established himself? Is he the best player in the league right now?
As you know, it's hard to say best. He plays. I love the way he plays the game. It's like it's just one of those guys you just can't hate on. He just plays hard. Like, it's just one of those guys, that old school mentality, just go out there and just play as hard as you can. But he has skill. You know, he has skill, he has talent. And, you know, I don't know if you can say he's the best player in the league, but top two, top three for sure. Top three. If somebody puts him in the top, like, he should be in everyone's top five. You know what I mean? He should be in everyone's top five, just period. Because you don't want to go against him, you know, if he's on the opposing team, because, you know, worst case scenario, he's going to have 24, 12, and 13. Like, he was held tonight. He was held tonight. That's the sad part. Like, when Giannis is being Giannis, he's 45, 50. There's nothing you can do with the guy. And he's going to have one of those games this series.
So the big
like that's what said, he had a triple double and he was contained.
I mean, the biggest knock on Giannis in years past has been that he don't have a bag. But when you look at this dude now, he's making threes more consistently. He's getting jumpers. He's getting to the cup. He's scoring at all three levels. Are you impressed at just the way he continues to develop his game?
He doesn't have an offensive package, meaning like, you know, the ideal of, you know, mid-range game, a post-up game, an in-and-out type of game, somebody you can count on, you know. He just knows how to just get it done. You know, he's just one of those players, like, he just gets it done. There's really no more, we should just throw away the whole concept of he doesn't have this. Well, he has something no one else has. He plays hard. He loves the game, and he plays it with, like, he plays it with love and energy. You know, there's that. It seems like that's harder to contain than having just natural skill of an ability of the score.
I mean, we're talking about a dude who's damn near 7 feet, though. He's going coast to coast. He has a little bit, you know what I'm saying? He's kind of, to me, like a bigger version of Bron. Obviously, left less guard skills, less handle. But the dude, you know, he can get to the cup, and it's not like he's just, you know, in years past, we would see these type of dudes that all he might have had is like a post game. Giannis got, I mean, mm-hmm. from where he started the league to where he is now, and even, you know, we had Larry Sanders on the pod recently, and even him talking about just that dog he had in him always and that willing to learn and grow. I mean, is it time for him just to take over? And if he wins the championship this year, are you ready to bow down and submit to the Bucks that Giannis is the most dominant player in the world?
Fine. like it's the Bucks. Just the name, the Bucks kills me. It's just the Bucks. It's just the name. Like, I love Greek. I mean, you know, I think what Greek brings to the game is just different. It's just Milwaukee, bro. It's Milwaukee.
Milwaukee goes back-to-back, though. We got it, you know, because...
Listen, if Milwaukee goes back-to-back, you know, they get to say, we're the new L.A., and I can't say nothing about
okay.
it.
Okay. We're going to hold you to that. Got to make sure. We got the clip. So I know Bucks fans is going to really lock in on this clip, and we're going to see it all over social media if it ends up panning out. But let's shift it out west or a little bit less east because, you know, I was just out in Memphis for the Iverson Classic. Very interesting city. I'll just say that. John Morant pulled up to the game on Saturday, was hitting the gritty, watching kind of the future of the generation. then Steph and the Warriors came in, hit the gritty on the Grizzlies, got that 117-116 win. So let's talk first and foremost the biggest story of the game, Draymond Green getting ejected in second quarter. Flagrant 2 goes Antonio Brown as he leaves the arena, kind of stirring up the Grizzlies crowd. Gil, was that the right call?
At first, I just thought it was a foul. Then it's like, okay, he's pulling him down. Maybe a flagrant 1. Then I guess the hard foul in the face plus the grab, still a flagrant 1. You know, I don't see flagrant 2, but then you got to add Draymond Green. You know, this is what Draymond does. You know, so I think he got penalized more because of his name than the action itself. Because there was no reaction, like if I'm the ref, you get hit in the face, you get pulled down, nothing happened. There was no fight. There was no jump up. There was none of that. It was just, okay, foul. Lay on the floor a little bit. Refs go, you know, go to their decision making. So I'm more of what was the aftermath type of person. There was no aftermath, flagrant 1.
So Draymond, obviously very vocal, very outspoken, has his own podcast with Volume Sports. He went on his podcast, the Draymond Green Show, after the game to share his perspective on the ejection. So I want to ask you, Gil, do you think you'd be better or worse off if you had a podcast while you were playing?
I did have, it wasn't podcasting, but a form of social media then, you know, but it was once every week, on NBA.com.
You had the blog?
There was the blog back then.
Yeah, but you wasn't going on right away, right after games and getting your blog going.
Yeah, it wasn't going on right away. I don't know, you know, I was more media savvy anyway, so, the shit talking would have been real. The shit talking would have been real. I think I would have just been more exciting. It would have just been more excitement to the game, more excitement towards that series and every matchup. You know, I wasn't saying nothing, you know, dumb in the media during, you know, during those matchups. I never really got sidetracked with the media. Always gave them, you know, nice quotes. I remember I used one of LeBron's slogans against him. We're all just witnesses. Had everybody laughing. You know, so I don't think I would have been bad, you know, during that era because, you know, I was smart enough to understand, you know, push it, but don't push it too much.
All right, well, let's shift focus to Klay Thompson. You know, Klay comeback season. He hit a big three to put the Warriors ahead by one, but then had two free throws with 6.7 seconds left in the game. Tricked them both off. They went on to win, but are you surprised that Klay missed both those shots?
Yeah, I'm very surprised. It's Klay Thompson. But I'm going to say this, you know, I know there's a lot of people right now not liking Klay. Woo, Klay is a... Woo, he's won it. He's won it because the spread was minus two. The spread was minus two, Golden State. And he got the two free throws. That was going to push it up three. Everybody's celebrating because Klay's at the free throw line. And he missed them both. A lot of people lost a lot of money.
So what you're telling me, Warriors fans may be happy they won the game, but a lot of them who bet on that spread are a little bit heated right now.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people. Oh, they happy they won a game. A lot of bookies is mad. Klay Thompson missed those two free throws. But, you know, I was surprised because I was like, my son was like, why is he shooting so fast? I was like, that's just how he shoots. I said, that's how he shoots. I mean.
You know. Yeah, I mean, like I said, if you're going to get on Klay for the misses, you got to give him the praise for hitting that three, you know, late in the game.
Yeah, that's what I said. You can't. He missed them, yeah, but they won the game. You know, so it's not like it cost them the game. It worked out. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, he don't have to beat himself up too much about it. You know, they won. You know, they're 1-0. You know, I'm pretty sure a person like him, he went back to the gym, shot another 500,000 free throws, and before the next game, he's gonna have about 1,000 free throws under his belt. But you know, it happens. Like people don't realize, like it happens. Just something, you just glitch for no reason.
So
he just glitched.
You've been in that spot before, and that's the thing. I think you have a very unique perspective on the situation. You've been in that spot before, but I don't think anybody would say you're not clutch. Like to your point, these things just happen.
Yeah. So like the one I missed the ones against Braun, I'm on a comeback. Like I hit we were down. It was like a really close game. I'm hitting every big shot after big shot, and we were down three. We're like 5-6 seconds left, and I hit the three at the buzzer to get us to overtime. I just fell flat in overtime. And then just somehow tricked those two free throws off. Felt great. Felt great. It was just one of those, like, when I look back at it, like, what was I thinking? I don't.
How long after that moment, obviously Klay's in a different perspective because they won the game, but how long after that moment are you thinking about it, and when do you kind of finally get over it?
Oh, no. As soon as the arena emptied, I went back and shot 2,000 free throws. 2,000 free throws.
Wow.
I was not going to let free throws hunt me in the summer. I even, because I remember, was it Nick Anderson? Was it Nick Anderson who missed the free throws? That fucked my Orlando up? And he was never the same after that. I didn't know if that was a mental thing. I didn't know what happened. So I even went to that summer. I went to a guy named Frank out in San Fran who does military training and all that just to work on my mental, just to make sure ain't nothing up in here, you know, off a little bit. So I worked with him, you know, doing the whole mental thing. And, you know, I came back and that's when I was breaking all those records. All the game winners came that following season. All the free, you know, I beat like three teams with free throws, hit the game winner, the 51. That was that year, the following year.
So I know you're still rocking with the Warriors, I think, but did the Grizzlies show you anything that they even have just a chance to make this a series and even win it potentially?
As long that, you know, Memphis is going to move as Ja's moving. You know, what he does when he has that ball, it gets everybody else open. You know, if you look at the beginning of the game, you know, He makes his first three. And I was like, uh-oh. And he was my son was like, hell yeah. And I was like, nah, uh-oh. I'm going to say uh-oh because that means he's going to shoot another one. You know, he makes the first one. That means he's going to shoot another one. He shot, he made it. And my son was like, fire. And I was like, that's not a good thing. He was like, why? And I said, because he generates offense for them. When he drives, those guys aren't creators. They're shooters. So they're going to get open. So the more he makes threes, the more he wants to take them, the less stagnant that offense is. And that's what ended up happening. I think the first six shots by them was threes. By Memphis, the first six shots by Memphis was threes into John Morant, I guess, got a back door and had a left-hand layup. You know, but sometimes, you know, when certain guys who don't have really good shooting percentages start making shots, they want to rely on them. But, you know, towards the end of the game, he got to his bread and butter, does what he does best.
All right, so let's shift it out to Sixers Heat series. Obviously, Embiid going to be out at least the first couple games. There's been some rumors and rumblings that he may make a return at some point in the series with the janky eye. But I need your knee-jerk reaction. Looking at this Sixers Heat series, obviously Jimmy Butler been battling some injuries as well. Who is winning this series?
Come here. Before the playoffs start, before the playoffs started, bro, I said that Philly only had two teams to get out of the first round. Other than that, they done. They're not getting out of this round. They done. They done. With Embiid, they done.
For sure. So, you know, let's move it on to the West. Suns and Mavs. D-Book got the janky hamstring. We got Luka, who was battling injuries early on. Do the Mavs have a chance in this series?
I mean, Luka's going to do what Luka's do. It's going to make it – it's going to be a great, great guard series. I don't think anyone has Dallas coming out, so I'm not even going to pretend that they have a chance. You know, even if they make it a series We all want to see it. We want to see Phoenix versus Golden State Warriors, you know. So Grizzlies has a better chance beating Golden State than Dallas does beating Suns. So they both don't have no goddamn shot.
And, Gil, before I let you go, just got to tell you, we appreciate you. See you in the whip right now, but you're wearing a seatbelt, practicing safety. Had to pull over, you know, had to get this out there for the people. Yeah. The fans needed it, so you delivered. You pulled over on the side of the road and made this show happen. So we just want to let you know that we appreciate you.
Yeah, man, I had to pull out one of my plies moments, man. Parking lot, you know, parking lot chronicles. And I get in the car and get to talking. But yeah, you know the first couple games, I'm mad I missed. You know, I'm mad I was still sleeping on the first Bucks games. But you know, I got to watch the full Warriors game. I'm not watching the Miami game. You know, I'm sorry.
I appreciate the honesty. There's a lot of media out there. I know you're a former Hooper. Probably don't even consider yourself media, but a lot of people out there who aren't watching the game either, but they just out here talking anyway. So we got to get a fan's opinion.
Listen, I'm not even going to lie. I'm going to give y'all some insight. It was after my playoff series. I don't know if it was ESPN TNT, so I'm just going to put them both together because I don't want to point out one. We were doing the halftime. No one watched the game. None of them. They in the back around talking on the phone, doing this sheet and shit. Get on there, and then you know, you hear the little answers, little study sheet, and then you just, yeah. So, yeah, you know, they had a great first half. They're just looking at the stat sheet, they did not actually watch the game, and I was just laughing, like, what the? Y'all didn't watch none of this shit. And that's how it be. That's why sometimes they sound so off. Is because they didn't actually watch. They wasn't watching the game. They're just looking at the stats, getting a little playback by the producer or whatever.
Yeah, you're out there exposing it, exposing the secrets of the game. But you know, this was another edition.
Yeah, listen. You do guys sit, like, how many times have Shaq got caught sleeping? Like, you know, Dwayne Wade, Candace Parker, they be catching him sleep. When y'all think he's sleeping?
He's taking it in. He's taking in the audio processing.
Thinking he's sleep. They wake up like, hey, man, yeah, man, Grizzlies, they done played well as hell. And that's what we do. You know what I mean? Fake it till you make it. But it's, you know, some people are just more just for entertainment. And I think that's what, you know, like that's what I said. I love Chuck and Shaq. I do not listen to them for facts, you know I just listen to they're entertaining, they're amazing, those guys are, that's what they're there for. You know, so like I'm gonna say it, you know, listen, because you're gonna ask me about the game, what happened in Miami Philly, I'm gonna give you a good answer, but I'm not watching that sorry ass. Like if I go to halftime and James Harden has about 20 something, then I might tune in. Other than that, Miami's defense is too good, and I think they're going to shut down Maxey and Harden, and then it's going to be a boring game.
We're going to see. If Harden's cooking, now you got to turn it on. We got to.
No. If he's getting a zit, you know, fillet. Oh yeah, I'm going to watch.
Oh, we appreciate you, Gil. So this has been another edition of Heat Check with the No Chill Podcast. We'll be back with more very soon.
Does that shirt say these nuts?
Sure does.